Welcome to yet again, one more time, as we round out the regular basketball season on this Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad podcast. I am Rocket Ryan Brandt.
I am Dan Rocket Man Savage.
And I'm Kyle W.
That's Kyle W. Smith, engineer, producer extraordinaire. Missing tonight, the one, the only, P.J. Spiller, also known as Pat Gillick, a.k.a. P.J. Spiller. And if he can join us from down in Texas, Nate Kresge, he's having some technical difficulties, as we say in the business, beyond our control. But we are very honored for the first time to have with us that man's head coach for the Toledo Rockets. That would be the one, the only, Coach Todd Kowalczyk. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
Okay, so we were just talking before we got everything set up, and we're saying this is probably your best coaching job you've ever done. You lose the talent you lost, and to win your fourth straight MAC regular season title, nothing short of miraculous.
Well, we lost three great players, no question about that. But we also had, you know, some good players returning. We knew, you know, Javen Simmons was a red shirt that we really believed in. And then we knew, you know, our freshman class was talented. But, I didn't know if we'd be in this position of winning regular season outright or not. But I felt we were talented enough. We also knew how talented Akron was. So I thought it would be a very bold statement before the season to make any, you know, claims. And we did not. But here we are and playing confidently, playing well, and ready for Cleveland.
So you mentioned at the beginning of the season how disappointed you were in yourself that you redshirted Javen Simmons last year. Well, whatever you did, I mean, you can't change and go back into a time machine and change time. But, man, what a player he is. What a great talent. And a fun guy to watch. A lot of energy and just looks like he has a good time playing the game.
I'm not sure it changed the outcome of last season. Don't get me wrong. I mean, do I think he could have helped us? No question. Would have been in the rotation, would have played, would have changed the MAC championship game. You can't say that. But a heck of a player, very coachable. And we certainly didn't lose the MAC championship game because of our interior play. That was not the case. It was, you know, sincere carry making some tough shots at the end of the shot clock. That's why we lost the game. It was our perimeter defense, but it was just him making, you know, good plays. But Javen's awesome. He's got a chance to be a special player. He will be the freshman of our, you know, the year. There's no doubt in my mind, and well deserved.
Do you guys get to vote for that, like coaches, you know, defensive player of the year, or because we're coming up on that, and I think we've got a lot of options for all freshman team, coach of the year for sure, all defensive team. I mean, got the guys that lead the MAC in steals. So how does that process kind of work?
Well, unfortunately, the MAC changed their policy a couple of years ago. It used to be three votes per institution, one vote for the head coach and two media people. So we would give it to Mark Beyer and Kyle Rowland would also vote. Now it's just the 12 head coaches. So you can imagine the bias, the agendas, the jealousy, whatever you have there. So who knows what happens, but I get a feeling, you know, last year I thought we were well represented and at a great respect level. Hopefully this year we are as well, and I have a feeling we will be. You know, but you look at Raheem Moss, Dante Maddox, and Tyler Cochran are clearly all-league players. Javen is hands down the best freshman in our league, and Sonny's on the all-freshman team, and we got some really good defenders, and Tyler Cochran you know, Raheem Moss. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out in the next the voting took place, you know, had to have our ballots in by 9 a.m. this morning. So it's done. They know who won.
Today at the downtown coaches, Justin Ingram, you had him up speaking, assistant coach for you. And he mentioned that, you know, you guys playing Kent State again. You're strangers to playing somebody the last game of the season and then playing them in the first round, are you?
No, we're not, but it's unique. I mean, it's, to be honest with you, I think there's a lot of boredom in the offices. We're so busy watching film. What film is there to watch? We've already watched all the film.
Yeah.
It's just rewatching our game from Friday night, and I've watched it already three times, and tomorrow I'll watch it again four times, and I'll watch it again on Wednesday. I mean, I've seen all their stuff. I mean, they the same way, and they've seen all of us. There's no secrets right now.
When did you learn that we were going to be outright conference champions on Friday? And then also because of the Western win, it kind of just kept Kent State at that eight spot.
Well, I had a feeling that Western could win the game. I didn't know if they would, but certainly felt that their interior play was so good at Western that they could, you know, neutralize some of the big guys at Akron. We were following it pregame, you know, and I walk out to the floor at, you know, 4 minutes before the start of our game, and I asked Brian Jones to score. He said, Akron's down five with three something to play. So I knew that it was a game. And kind of a funny story, fellas. So I, you know, at halftime, I walk into the coach's locker room and told Jordan Love to pull up on his phone. He said, well, Akron lost. So I said, I'm going to go talk to the players and tell them. And the assistant coach was like, no, you can't do that. You can't tell them. And I, my reply back was BS. I can. It wasn't BS. It was something else. And I walked in the locker room, was very adamant, and told fellas, when I was a kid, I was awful at sharing. I was awful at it. And I'm assuming you all were too. We're not sharing this title. We're not sharing it. Go and win it outright. Akron lost. So they knew at halftime. Hey, you know, let's face it, with social media, they were gonna know. When we walked out at halftime, somebody in the crowd was gonna say something. They would have known.
Right.
So why keep it a secret? Why not put all the cards on the table? This is what we're playing for, an outright championship. Let it be known. Instead of trying to hold it back of what if. In the back of their mind, they'd be thinking, well, is this for a championship or an outright champ? You know what? There's a difference. Let's mm-hmm. be honest. Guys. There's a difference.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that co in front of the championship. You just want to win it outright. I don't blame you a bit. So, Coach, this year, you know, we're talking about some of the guys you had coming back. You know, one guy we didn't mention was Andre Lorenzen. He's my vote for most improved player in the MAC this year. What a season this guy's had, especially in the conference season.
Well, with him, it's nothing more than confidence and belief. When we got him, he was fragile, you know, and not maybe believing in himself. And I think, and I've told him several times, I believe in you way more than you believe in yourself. Stop being just a catch and shoot player. Be tough, be physical, shot fake, get into the paint. Don't settle for threes. And it wasn't until he had success at Eastern Michigan, playing off the dribble and finishing on the basket, that completely changed his career. And I hate to, you know, the cliche of sometimes the light just comes on. Well, it's sometimes as simple as one game, one moment, the light comes on. I've had several other players where I had that moment. And for him, it was Eastern Michigan on the road. The light finally came on. Hey, I'm pretty good. I'm more athletic than people think I am. I'm tougher than people think I am. I'm better defensively than people think I am. I can do this instead of just being a catch and shoot guy. And, you know, part of it, and he's got wonderful parents, but a little bit different culture over there in Sweden. It's different, you know, and maybe a little pampered and didn't want, you know, and now he's coming over here, he's getting a little taste of it, and I think he likes it.
Yeah, I think when I see him, you know, break a zone or something, he stands about 20 feet out with the ball. He looks at the rim. Sometimes he has a jump shot. I like when he puts his head down and he goes at the rim and attacks because he's really good yeah. around the rim now. And he's just an awesome player off the bench and a scorer. And talking about scorers, we saw a little Marco this weekend against Kent. He came in and popped a three in, and then we saw him against Miami too. I mean, Xavier also had 7 points against Miami. Talk a little bit about the back end of the bench, and are we going to see that rotation a little bit in Cleveland?
Well, I think you might see Marco a little bit, depending on, you know, the style of play and the style of the game. But, you know, in Bryce Ford's injuries, you might see Marco.
Is what's going on with Bryce and Gregor?
Gregor is out for the year.
Okay.
He's done. Bryce, I don't want to say he's out for the year. But right now, probably play Marco over him.
Getting back to Dre, one last question on him. I know last year he lost a tooth. Did he get a new tooth yet this year?
I thought the question was, Ryan, was going to be, will he please, what's going on with his mustache?
Oh, let's that get that too.
let's get that out there. Let's watch
hide
he
the tooth, I think.
Yeah, tied the tooth.
Let's get rid of the mustache.
Yeah, he's something else.
If you want to grow the beard and stuff with it, fine, but let's make a decision. Either go with the goatee, go with the beard, but let's not just go with the stash.
That's a very good point. I'll have to mention that next time I see him.
Do you have an opinion now? I mean, most of the seasons we won the regular season, you have the automatic qualifier of the NIT. That no longer exists. So I assume the CBI and CIT are places a team that wins 20 games can go. Is that something that that could possibly happen? There's no automatic qualifiers. Kind of what's going on postseason for teams that have great non-cons like App State and UNM?
I'm sure we're in play with the NIT. To be honest with you, I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't really been concerned. Our net ranking is probably not good enough. But as far as our interest in the CBI and CIT, that's not going to happen. That to me is a football bowl team going 6-6 and going and celebrate. We're not doing that. Our right. program is more than that. We're not going to those tournaments.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's just crazy. Cause we played such a tough non-con this year and all these teams are right around the bubble, and it'd be a shame for, an Indiana State not to make the dance. And just looking at all the teams we played close, it's like, man, we're right there too. Yeah.
See, I disagree. I disagree with that. I disagree with Indiana State. We went to Vegas with them. They're very good. Don't get me wrong. They're very good. We went to Vegas with them. They had a chance to play New Mexico in Cal Irvine too, mm-hmm. and didn't want to.
Oh, wow.
They had a chance to beef up their schedule. They could have played New Mexico, and they could have played Cal Irvine. Had they played those two teams, maybe we're not talking about they deserve to go, that they're in. In my opinion, they don't deserve to go because of that. We decided to play those teams, and we had a choice, and so did they.
So what about App State, who got luckily they got Auburn at home, and they beat a great team like us. They got five losses and got bounced in the semis. App State, JMU could be battling here for an at-large.
Yeah. I'd like to think App State could get in. Mm-hmm. App State and Indiana State are different types of teams. Indiana State is much more explosive offensively. Probably has a better chance of winning some games in the NCAA tournament. App State is phenomenal defensively. I know we played really well against them offensively. Should have won the game. To be honest with you, probably gave it away. When you're up 9 with 2.5 to play, you got to win that game. And all you do is not turn it over. We turned it over, and that's on us. But I don't really know App State's resume, and I don't know their non-conference schedule. I know they played Auburn at home. Auburn's not going to Toledo. They're not going to Indiana State. But Indiana State, they beat us in non-conference. Who else did they really beat? They lost to Michigan State. They lost to Alabama. But again, I'm going back to it. They could have played Irvine. They could have played New Mexico, and they didn't. If their fan base wants to be angry at their non-conference schedule.
Good point. So since last couple,
they played Rice and they played Pepperdine instead. Do that math.
Yeah, that's not solid. Let's put it that way. So last couple of weeks, we've found out that UMass joining the MAC in all sports. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, I think they're a national name basketball-wise. I don't know what else they bring to the program. They certainly don't bring any football to the program. And their basketball relevance is quite old. But I do think they have the potential to be really good. I think Frank Martin is a really good coach. I think their commitment to men's basketball, you look at their budgets, their salaries, it's far, far superior to any MAC school. So hopefully that it increases the commitment level from all the administrations in the MAC for men's basketball. I think it was reported their men's basketball budget is well over 5 million, or it's going to be well over 5 million. Akron, I think, is at the top of our league at three something. So, that's a big increase. If they want to, if they want to win, or if you want to win, you got to obviously, it's about commitment level, and UMass is committed to men's basketball, no question about it. So I think it's good. I think it's good that they're coming into the league. I think it does it make us automatically a two-bid league? Probably not. Do they come in as the most funded program by far? Yeah, they do. But I also think geographically, it's not a great match. I told their beat writer when he called me, yeah, I would imagine their recruitment will drop off a little bit. The Atlantic 10 is a better men's basketball league than the MAC. I mean, you can't argue that. I wish I could argue, and I wish it was the other way. But so will they be able to recruit the same quality? I would say it's going to take a little bit of a dip. Hopefully, not that much of a dip. But I do think it's going to help our league. No question about it.
Coach, you're in your 22nd season. 14 of those have been here at the University of Toledo. So I've never really been good at math, but over half of your career has been here at the University of Toledo. Obviously, there's something about this school you kind of dig.
Oh, we love the community. We love the school. We love the fan base. We love the facilities. We love so much about it. So you guys are, this community sucks you in. You may move here for and think you're only going to be here for a few years, and all of a sudden 10 years go by and you don't want to leave. I've had a chance and an opportunity to work for some great people, raise my family in an unbelievable community. And not too many Division I head coaches can have both their son and daughter go through the same school district for their entire career. And that's really important to Julie and I.
Well, Coach, we wish you nothing but the best. I mean, it's going to be a tough run, but this team, I think, is built for it. And it all begins on Thursday morning against Kent State at 11 a.m.
Well, they're confident. They're confident. They're healthy. They're hungry. All the things you want in a team going into March, we have. Now it's just go there, have fun, play loose, play hard, and win games.
A message to the fan, 11 a.m. Kent State's going to bring their fans, but I think we need to get our ass to Cleveland and support both you and the women's program. Make a weekend out of it at St. Paddy's Day in Cleveland. It can't be any better.
Amen to that.
I think they might have a beer there.
Maybe.
If that's the case, I'm in.
I'll take a green one too. Yeah.
All right, Coach.
I'll wait to have my green beer on Sunday.
There you
Hopefully
go.
With
Sounds
a lot
good.
of news.
All right. Well, good luck, Coach. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
See you guys.
See ya.
All right, so it all begins Thursday morning, 11 a.m. from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on ESPN Plus, and of course, the Rocket Sports Radio Network from Learfield. Dan, what's the rest of the schedule looking like?
So with getting the one seed, we're playing early every day. So it's just Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the men, which can be a good thing, especially if you're playing Kent State. Not going to give them a time to get their full crowd there. They outnumbered us pretty good last season. So we get Kent first, and then the 4-5 game on our side of the bracket is those dirty, dirty birds, Bowling Green Falcons at 5, and then Central Michigan 4. And those are two teams that have beaten us this year. So you could say it's path of least resistance compared to maybe Akron and Ohio on the other side of the bracket. But also there's an opportunity here where we can go through three teams we're going to be up for sure. And then on the other side of the bracket, Akron's a 2. They play 7. Miami, and then Western Michigan with their big win against the Zips moved all the way to 6, and they will play 3, the Ohio Bobcats, who are as hot as anybody in the country right now. So I wouldn't look at that number if we ended up drawing them on Saturday and say, well, we beat them twice. Well, we did. We also shot the lights out 2 times against them. So if you're planning on making it Friday and Saturday, Toledo will finally get the later game on Saturday, while the women's championship will be the 11 a.m. game on Saturday. So now going to the women, we had an awesome finale to our season.
Oh my gosh, what a nice good old fashioned butt whipping and a great atmosphere. 6,200 people there on a Saturday afternoon to enjoy all the fun and frivolity.
And we expected it to. You know, Kent State, the ladies on Friday gave us everything that we could handle. If we ever have a slow quarter, it always seems to be early in the game. I mean, it was nip and tuck for the whole first half. And then Sophia and Q just showed them what was up. And this team is deep. We're great at the five. I really can't see any situation where we do not make the finals. But, you know, Shayla Watson in Buffalo, they were sitting there at that four game, at 4-5, and she can light it up. So you just got to stay focused one game at a time. And they will start Wednesday at 10 or 11 in the morning. That's the early game. So maybe head over to an establishment, grab a beer, maybe some steak and eggs, and have fun. Or get down to Cleveland, come back, or stay for the whole 4 days. The Lady Rockets will play Western Michigan in the first round, which is a pretty good draw. Toledo handled them twice pretty nicely. Also shot well against them twice. And then the 4-5 is, again, those dirty birds at the 5 seed playing Buffalo. So, hey, I'd take another shot at the Falcons.
Hell yeah.
The 2 seed is the Ball State Cardinals, who were at the top of the standings all year until we knocked them off a couple weeks ago. They'll play Ohio at the 7. Then the 6 is Northern Illinois, and they will play the 3 seed Kent State. And Northern won a big game this weekend to avoid the 1-2. So, pretty advantageous path for the Huskies, who have beaten Ball State this season. So, like I said, I don't see too many issues with us getting to the finals. But, again, one game at a time, and it's going to be a battle down the stretch. Trish has done an awesome job. I could see every single player on this team making an All-MAC or All-Defensive team. And Coach of the Year, what can we say? I mean, she's Coach of the Year in our hearts, right?
Oh, hell yeah, she is. I mean, who else would it be?
Yeah, and she just broke the record for 3 consecutive outright MAC champions. First time the women have ever done that. So that's really, really impressive. We had an awesome crowd and got to hang out.
She just hit 350 wins, too, didn't she?
For us, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she's got over almost 500, I think, for her whole career.
I think it was like a 68% win percentage.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Solid.
Oh, yeah, I was talking your father-in-law, Pat, you know.
PJ Spiller.
And your wife were there, too. She was there.
Yeah,
just
Kristen.
In case you didn't know.
Kristen W. was there.
Yeah, Kristen Dub. K-Dub, as we like to call her. Anyway, Pat and I were talking about how, okay, so, you know, Bob Nichols, great coach, 22 years, my all-time favorite college basketball coach. You might have to hyphenate that and call it Nichols Call-Up Court one of these days because it's, I mean, look at what she's done for this university.
If you pass up a name like Fenley on the all-time list and you just continue to get to the NCAA championship, I mean, it's remarkable that we've been able to keep her, but the fans and support that she has is why she's staying. So keep showing out. I mean, my gosh. And this is a year where I think we're definitely, I kind of talked about this on a refuel a few weeks ago. I think we could be a 9 or a 10 seed, but the looks like the Ohio State Buckeyes, unless they get some help from some 1 seeds falling off on the ladies' side, the Buckeyes are going to be a 2. So the way that the women's tournament works out is the 1 through 4 is all host. And so they kind of do more of attendance looking to see who's going to play there. If the 7-10 game is featuring the Rockets, we could be in Columbus, 2.5-hour drive to show out our fans and then win and beat a 7 seed to get to the Buckeyes, which would be an all-time weekend as far as I'm concerned.
Hell yeah.
And you beat Michigan and Ohio State in same season.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Michigan almost won the Big Ten in the ladies. They're all the way up to a 9 seed themselves, and we whoop their butts at Savage, so... just an exciting time of the year. The best 2 weeks of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Plus, to drink beer because St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, did they turn that river green, the Cuyahoga, or no? That's just Chicago.
It just catches on fire there.
Yeah. Okay, it's so. Just green in general.
Exactly.
Well, the mommy is green in general.
Yeah, fair. It's shallow, though. It gets a bad rap.
It's greenish, brownish, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So, anything else... we'd like to add before we close this down.
Oh, ladies, tickets are really cheap. Just get down there, have some fun. Harry Buffalo, I'm sure there's going to be a pregame pep rally like there usually is when we're down there. And if you see one of us, give us a shout. We might end up going live if we're real drunk and we've won 2 championships on Saturday night.
Yeah, you know. And it's funny too, because today I want to say today because it's leap year and we played the MAC tournament earlier, was the anniversary 1 year ago today is when we played in the MAC championship, both men and women, because it came up on Facebook memories. So Dan, let me say happy anniversary to you. It's the first time I've met you in person.
That is true. Happy anniversary. It's very special.
What do you get a guy for that? Maybe I bought a Big K Cola.
That works for me.
There you go. Happy anniversary.
$3.99 for a 12-pack.
That's right. It's not bad at all.
That was precious, folks. Precious.
It's, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little glistening over here, but got a tear in the eye. But
yeah, listen to us on the way to Cleveland. What else are you going to listen to on the way there? Some Pat Daly? I mean, come on.
You know what? I just thought of something. You were talking about getting over there, getting a beer early. I got to give Paul Neuvenman, Paulie, a.k.a. Paulie, credit. He is the first one to go to the bar at the arena 10 years running. He's the guy that opens up the bar because most people don't drink that early in the morning. So Paulie's like, they're like, hey, you're the first customer. And he comes back for another. You're the second customer. So keep it up, Paulie. We're proud of you. So on behalf of Nate Kresge, who's here in spirit, not on the air. We missed you, buddy. And Pat Jilek, a.k.a. PJ Spiller, he couldn't be here either. I'm Rocket Ryan Brandt.
I am Dan Rocket Man Savage.
And I'm Kyle W.
That's Kyle W. Smith, engineer, producer extraordinaire to you and me, Russ. Have a great night, everybody. Go Rockets. TOL.
EDO. Ooh.